Well, turn your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 25, in which David begins to convey his sorrow over, his grief over those that are tormenting him, have evil, malicious intent. You know, there are actually bad people out there. I don't know if you've noticed that or not, but Scripture reminds us of that. I think there are times where people perceive themselves not only to be good themselves, but they believe that they have the power to change others by virtue of them just being good to them. And the thought is, you know, if I'm nice enough to somebody, they're going to be better because of that. I don't know if you want to call that Pygmalion effect or whatever, but the desire, which is actually a psychological term. But the point is that we think that we can cause this to happen by virtue of our desires. And clearly, you know, does God want you to be nice? Yeah, but be nice for God. Don't think that your wonderful magnetic personality is going to change anybody, or even your great spiritual prowess. It's not going to be that changes it, but God's going to change the heart. We know that he has the power to do that. But we do all things to please him, and he works powerfully when we do that. But Psalm chapter 25, David begins to talk about calling upon the Lord and waiting on him, trusting him to take care of him. He makes a statement here in the passage in which he begins to talk about just how hurtful people are. And his statement is in verse 3, "Indeed, none of those who wait for thee will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously," this is verse 3, "without cause will be ashamed." There are actually people that are mean, and if you were to ask them, "What are you so upset about?" they couldn't tell you. If you were to say, "What did I do?" they wouldn't be able to tell you. They're just hateful. And I think sometimes I've seen believers go, "You know, I must have upset this person." I go, "Well, you may have, but you might not have done anything. They just might be upset." You know, there are a lot of miserable people out there. And so you'll see this phrase being used over and over again, those who deal treacherously without cause. In other words, there's no reason why they should be doing what they do. And this chapter actually follows through. If you go through, it says in verse 16, "Turn to me and be gracious to me," as he cries out, "for I am lonely and afflicted." Let me just say this. Evil has a purpose. If you don't believe that, well, just write down this verse. It's found in Proverbs chapter 16 in verse 4. God literally declares that evil has a purpose. So God has created it for that purpose. What is the purpose? Well, one is evil causes you to run to God. You know, just think of evil as like this big stick chasing you, and it chases you right into the arms of God, because God says, "I'll never leave you, I'll forsake you. And so the passage says in verse 16, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted." Well, once again, evil comes in and all the resources go, and you have to turn to somebody, and it causes you to turn to the Lord. It says in verse 17, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive my sins." That's a very interesting point, because it helps you also realize that maybe I could be at fault in some way. So it actually becomes a purging and purifying process. You begin to look at yourself and wonder, is there something that I'm doing that's wrong that's causing all this? And God begins to cause you to examine yourself, and you begin to confess your sins before the Lord. If you look in verse 19, it reads this way, "Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred." You see that particular phrase? That's once again where we get the word Hamas. So if you ever once again want to know where the word Hamas comes from, that we see in the news all the time, actually probably more pronounced Hamas, but you see this particular word, it actually means violent, cruel, unjust oppression. So anybody that has, you know, this is our name, we're violent, cruel, and we hate you, then I would say I wouldn't join that club, because that's probably one of those bad clubs that you don't want to join. And you really see the hatred of men. The point of the passage is that there are people that do this, and there's no reason for them to be doing it. It's one of the great interesting phenomenons that we've seen with many attacking Israel. Going, why are you attacking them? I mean, it's not like they have a lot of resources. There's absolutely no reason for Israel to be hated and attacked as often as they are, except there's a God of this world that wants to destroy them. That's actually revealed in Revelation chapter 12 in particular. So is there a hatred? Is there a viciousness in the world? Yes. Can I stop it by being nice to these people? No, you're not going to stop it by being nice. Do you want to continue to be nice for the Lord? Yeah, continue to be nice to the Lord. Psalm 35, if you look with me in that particular passage, will make reference to, once again, those that are hurtful and evil without cause. And this particular passage really makes reference to, of course, the Christ, Christ who came. And it says in chapter 35, verse 11, malicious witnesses rise up against me. They ask of me things that I do not know. They repay me evil for good. Why would somebody do that? You do something nice to them, and then they do something horrible to you? Why would they do that? It just doesn't make any sense. You might want to write off the side. There's an interesting passage in Isaiah 26:10. It says, though the wicked is shown favor, he does not learn righteousness. He deals unjustly in the land of righteousness, and he does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. In other words, even if I showed somebody favor and kindness, there are evil people that wouldn't respond in a favorable way. They would still hate you, and they would still hate God. It doesn't matter. I think sometimes we try to think through the process, and we go, we just need to do this, and then that will be settled. Yeah, but think through the equation. There are people that are just hateful, and they're going to continue along that bent. So fundamentally, if you look at the passage, it goes on. He says in verse 19, do not let those who are wrongfully my enemies rejoice over me, neither let those who hate me without cause wink maliciously at me. Once again, you see that kind of mindset. If you look with me at Psalm 58, you see this carried out. And I don't think there's a place where this is more clear than this particular chapter. And it's hard for me to completely fathom this paragraph, but nevertheless, I'm going to read it to you. Psalm 58, verse 1. Do you indeed speak righteousness, O gods? Do you judge uprightly, O sons of men? No, in the heart you work unrighteousness. On earth you weigh out violence in your hands. The wicked, watch the verse here. The wicked are estranged from the womb. These who speak lies go astray from birth. They have venom like the venom of a serpent, like a deaf cobra that stoops up, stops up its ears, so that it does not hear the voice of the charmers or the skillful caster of spells. In other words, doesn't matter what you say to them. Doesn't matter how sweet you are to them. They don't hear it. They can only think of one thing, and that is to destroy you. Psalm 109 will make emphasis on this as well. And this is just to kind of get your week off to a good start. Psalm 109, verse 1, reads this way. O God of my praise, do not be silent, for they have opened the wicked and deceitful mouth against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have also surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without cause. In return for my love, they act as my accusers, but I am in prayer. They have repaid me evil for good and hatred for my love. Never stop loving, never stop being kind, but don't think for one moment that you're changing the world. You're not. And there is an evil, and there is a prince of the power of the air that orchestrating these things, and it's going to happen. I just want to remind you at the end of Psalm 139, and we'll just close with this, at the end of Psalm 139, as the psalmist throughout this chapter is basically fundamentally saying, nobody knows me better than you, God. You know, I mean, where can I go from your spirit? Doesn't matter where I am. My inward parts you wove. Nobody knows me better than you is the fundamental point of the beginning of this, or actually the major part of this particular passage. Nevertheless, he comes towards the end, and you can see that he begins to express why he's telling God this. I mean, you're not giving God new information when you tell him, you really know me better than anybody else. So there's a reason why you're telling God that you know me better than everybody else. And that is, he's saying, I need you to check me. Because nobody knows me better than you. So I don't even know myself too well. So he comes to the end of the passage and we realize what's his problem. His problem is he's very angry. And he's justifiably so. Because people are doing things that are wrong. And they're doing things that are wrong without any kind of cause, without any reason. They're just malevolent, vicious creatures. And it angers him. So he states this in verse 19. Oh, that thou wouldst slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate thee, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against thee? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They become my enemies. Now, what word have you seen over and over again? Hate, right? Right. That's why he ends this way in verse 23 and 24. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thought. And see if there be any evil, hurtful way in me. The world that we live in is a hateful place. Titus even says that you once were hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God appeared, he saved you, not on the basis of deeds which you had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. And God wants to keep you there. God never wants you to get in the realm of hating back. We are in a world of hatred, and don't think for a moment that your wonderful kindness and personality is going to change people. But don't ever get out of that love that God has you in, and do it for him. And there are going to be times where you're going to do it and people aren't going to respond, but that's okay, because I did it for him. I didn't do it for you. I did it for him. Father, we give you thanks for your love and for your mercy upon us, in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And Lord, we don't know who the wicked are that will not respond, and we don't know who the evil are that will respond, but you do. And so, Lord, we're just going to obey your voice and keep our heart in the right place as you do a work around us. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.